The following talk was recorded at Libra Planet 2023, Charting the Course, an annual conference on current issues in ethics, social justice, and technology from the Free Software Foundation. Libra Planet is a live conference, and speakers often use slides and other visual tools to assist their presentation. You can see the videos of these talks at media.libraplanet.org or on the FSF PeerTube channel. Libra Planet speakers do not represent the mission of the Free Software Foundation. We host speakers talking about their uses of free software in different kinds of political and commercial work. The FSF supports their freedom, but does not take a position on any political issues other than those necessary to uphold the principles of free software. Like all the FSF's work on behalf of the freedom of all computer users, Libra Planet is made possible by thousands of individuals. To keep our work going, please consider becoming an associate member via my.fsf.org/join. or by making a donation at my.fsf.org/donate. You can stay informed by subscribing to our newsletter, The Free Software Supporter, at fsf.org/fss. For more information on Libra Planet, please visit libraplanet.org/conference.
Hello, nice to see you.
Nice to see you, Kevin.
So, we should start already. It's the time.
It's time. There's some time.
Okay.
You want to do a short intro about Libra Planet, or you want to introduce ourselves?
So, we are starting our session. My name is Kirill Sarudykin, and I am a moderator. I will read your questions to our speakers. And now our speakers would tell 3 minutes about themselves. Okay, please.
Okay, so
welcome everybody. We are Lilian and Melanie from France, and we are quite proud to be here with you. It's the end of the afternoon, so I would say tonight, but for you it's maybe not. Bonjour. And yeah, we want to present our tool we made to introduce and present some questions about ethical in a digital.
So where we come from is we are a teacher and facilitator. So we help collectives to do collective intelligence, to work better together. And we work also a lot with digital tools, like for remote collaboration. And we've been concerned with free software and issues about digital technology for many years. So what you'll see today comes from our background as teachers, as facilitators, both on the web. We help people to work together. How do we work together, both in the digital space and as a
pedagogy? We work on two legs. The first leg is how to share and make things together as humans. And the other one is how can we choose and imagine some digital tools that are related to our ethics and needs.
So,
and you are scientists, right?
At first, yes, but now we are mostly not.
Scientists, PhD,
no.
Right?
No, we didn't. Actually, we have a scientific background. Melanie was in engineering, and I was in biology, but we quit that, and we went our own way. With digital, with collaboration, and that's how we come here today.
Okay, so we might proceed to the main part. Very interesting topic, ethics, some kind of ecology, and many, many more. Let's start.
Okay.
Okay. So what we are going to present today is this.
So it's a box, but it's not a game. It's a real tool, and it chooses to make it under some separate cards, just to be sure it's really a toolbox with many tools, and we are not going to use all of them in the same. And it's not something you can play, like, for example, for a 2 hours in an afternoon with somebody. It's just, we conceive this as a way we engage people and we help people to walk and
towards an ethical digital technology. What you see here is a physical object. We'll present a bit the how we came to that, and then we spend like 10-15 minutes to present the how we came to this. Then we prepared an online demo for you, so you can try it out on a small scale, because you don't have obviously the tool in your, we are remote. So many showing you a few this, but we are going to show you on a digital
and an English version.
English version on digital workspace. And this is all you see is released under Creative Commons license. So it's a physical product, which is
but everything is online in French only, sorry, but everything is online available.
Yeah.
Are we going to have some masterclass?
Some what, sorry?
A masterclass.
Masterclass.
Today?
Yes. Explain what is it, what is kind of a tool.
Today we'll do a kind of very small masterclass, because you see this tool has 60 cards, which seems a little. But as you'll see, every card can be used for maybe a few hours for some of them. So we'll do a very short masterclass, because there are several constraints. We are online. We haven't translated everything in English. And we don't know why people come from. We'll ask you why you came here, people, today. But obviously, we haven't worked together before. So we'll give you a small taste of what it can do using this online board, so that you can understand the logic. And then maybe have more discussion and questions about this. So it's a small taste. It's a small masterclass, we say.
Okay, let's start.
Okay, so we want to have it very interactive. But before, we want to show you how this came, how this product came, why it's not just Lilian and Melanie who just did some random thing on their own. And for that, I'm going to share my screen. What you'll see is something called Airboard Game, which is a free tool for online games, online board. But I kind of twisted it a bit to make a little presentation, and then we'll use the same board to interact. So here, you should see my screen.
Yes.
Is it working? No, it's not been authorized.
Screen disappeared.
Yeah, now it should work. Is it okay? You can see my screen?
Yes.
Okay, so we weren't able to see you, but you can talk to us anytime. So I think the Free Software Foundation and the Free Software Movement came a few years ago because there was a big problem with copyright. And now, many years after that, we have even more bigger problem. We have the GAFAM, and we have all kind of ethical issues with digital, which about ecological issues, social issues provoked by this. So we won't give you all of this. It's not the time for that. I think people come here, they're concerned. So we made this tool, which we call MetaCart. Want to say something?
It's okay.
So, as Melanie said, this is not a game, it's a toolbox. How you see it, it's a card which has a front and a back side. And we made a physical tool to help people think about digital, but outside from the screen. That's important for us. That comes from the thinking we have about learning and pedagogy. We wanted a tool which makes people manipulate physical objects and have discussions and move collectively as people, as individuals, and as collectives. But this tool, as you can see, it has a QR code, so
and a short link,
so you can access it using a smartphone, or you can use it with a simple computer. And how did that? Who is MetaCart? What? So today you see Melanie and I. We did all the research and workshop design. We did a lot. We'll show you. We did a lot of workshop to come up to this. We did all the writing, editing, graphic design, and web design. But we are not alone. Basically, we are supported by a co-op for the accounting, because we had to print something. We are selling the object. We'll talk about this later. So there is a legal structure, which is a co-op. That's a choice for us as an ethical, to be an ethical company. We were supported by French free software ecosystem, a lot of support by Framasoft, who's a very strong actor in France on free software and the issue around it. Libéron nos ordi did a lot of writing with us, and April was very supportive also on several sides. And a lot of volunteers came with us to produce this. For us, there are a lot of values we claim. Empowerment, sharing the knowledge is very important for us, and that what we do is full of meaning.
Yeah, we call it sincere sharing. That's a bit different than just sharing, because we wanted to add the sincere to really affirm that it's important to not wait for something back, just sharing, and then this tool with some other people will have another life and other uses we cannot even imagine, and it's okay, and we are not waiting for somebody to just call us back to say something, or we're just sharing. It's entirely available for free with the
Creative Commons
license, and so that's it.
And sincere sharing is also for us not just releasing free content, but trying to do extra work so that it's easier for people to reuse it. So a bit of explanation, how do you use it, what you can do with it, which is not just releasing data, but helping people use this data. Mm-hmm. And because it's not software, it's not code, there are issues which are different from just code also.
Meaning
for us also means to be coherent between what we say and what we do, and that's very important for us also this. And yeah, go on.
So the tool is open source, open for use, right?
Yeah.
Is it just paper variant or electronic variant also?
For now it's just paper. But we are, as you can see, in a few minutes, we could do an online version. That's a possibility, but because we are very small, I remind you, we are only two people really, not full time even on this. We are very small, basically. We are very small actors. Although we had a lot of support from various people. In the end, it's Melanie and I who do most of the work. So for now, it's paper, and because it was our initial choice, but it could be possible that some people adapt this online, and you'll see the possibility in a few minutes also.
Okay.
Important for us is, which shows, as you'll see, we are a co-op as a legal structure, because for us it's also how do you fund a free content production. You need to have a model. You can't just be free. If you want to be ethical, you have to have also a model to pay for this. So we chose to sell the project and to sell some masterclass around the object. That's basically our revenue model. And we're inspired by what Harald Balkan called a stay up, which is not a startup where you try to grow and then sell to a bigger company. We want to stay small and be growing as an ecosystem, as an archipelago of cooperation. So work with other actors of the free world, free Libre ecosystem. And so that's very important for us to be an ethical company and not grow and just make money, but stay small, work with other actors, and not be sold later on. Otherwise, it won't be coherent with the fact we want to be ethical. Sorry. So we participate to the commons. Yeah, go on.
So you sell these cards, and you also propose some trainings for clients, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's how we found ourselves, and for other from other lessons we do, which are not directly related to the cards, we found ourselves basically. So we had a bit of funding from a soft at the beginning, like selling before the product was finished. But that's all. We are independent actor, and that's how we are doing this basically.
Excellent. Yeah.
We are going to show you also, we think it's interesting, you see how we came to to this tool before we show you the tool. So again, you'll understand why we made some choice. So we started in June 2019, an open construction process, which was basically, which is described here.
As you see.
Attends, il faut faire avec la roulette.
Non, je te laisse faire. As you see, we started in June 2019 and we ended at June 2021. So it took 2 years, this process. And we wanted an open process with as volunteers as possible. So quite many people join us in this process.
So it started initially because we did another card set, which was about meetings, collaborative meetings. And during this process, we had some work with Framasoft. So Framasoft, for those who don't know, is a French nonprofit, very active in promoting free software and educating about the use and the political aspect of free software. So they are very active in this. And they had the campaign, which you might have heard from, which was called Dégooglisons Internet, which basically means de-Googleize the internet, which was the idea that they wanted to show that as a small NGO, they could propose alternative software to the GAFA. And this campaign was very successful. They promoted a lot of alternatives. And initially, we wanted to make a small card set, which was like a goodie, you know, compared to what we had already done with collaborative meeting. But very quickly, we realized that it was not enough to just propose cards like this. Initially, we thought, okay, we'll put cards with Etherpad, LibreOffice, Nextcloud, so that we can show people the alternatives. But it was a bit too not coherent because the softwares are evolving very fast. What is today true is not going necessarily to be true tomorrow. Maybe on cloud will change and won't be so ethical, so we'll have to switch to next cloud, stuff like that. So we started a whole new thing, and we thought we don't just want to be against something. We don't just want to be against the GAFAM. We want to propose something better, and we are going to do something about this. So we did some card sets, very simple at the beginning. We wrote names on cards, and we did some workshop. So this is in Toulouse. There is a famous hacker space in Toulouse and a hacker space festival. And we went to this THSF, Toulouse Hacker Space Factory Festival, to start our first workshop prototyping the cards. Then we did a persona design thinking on this. We put up all the use you can have from collaborative writing, web hosting, photo album, so on. We did some drawings. So Melanie is a facilitator and graphic facilitator. So we wanted to draw, to have drawings for the cards to help memorize. So we did all the stuff and we made some prototypes. So this, what you see here, was made with LibreOffice Writer. Very simple. And we printed them and we went testing them. Then at some point, we were a bit, how to say that, not sure about our going to such a long project, and we wanted to make sure we could take it to the end. And for that, we had to make sure we had a bit of fund, at least to be able to print the cards. So we proposed to people to buy in advance some card sets to fund ourselves. And we said, this is what we are going to do, start, work, do some more prototypes, some open workshops, and then print them. And we had people coming and a lot of support from Framasoft again, and options for people to contribute, help us make the project known, test, participate to the workshop, buy the card set in advance. So different ways for volunteers to help us. Very easy one, just promote the project. More complex, like participate or buy in advance. We were part of Framasoft ContributeOKA project also, so we had support from them. And then this was also during confinement. So we were not able to do a face-to-face meeting as we expected, but we took advantage of that. So we participated to a workshop we organized and workshop other actors like Framasoft organized using Etherpad as a very useful tool, using BigBlueButton also for online meeting. So basically what we did is put up some content online. The prototype I showed you before here, they were also put up online, and we asked people to test them, give us feedback. And during the workshop, people could tell us, okay, I think this card is right, this is not right, we should write it like this, we should write it like that. We work on the learning system. I won't go in the detail, but how do we get people to work in the tool? More prototyping, more paper, more computer work. Then we came up with some models. We did that with Scribus, which is a graphic publishing tool. And we sent it to the printer. And we finally, after 2 years, managed to print the cards, which was a huge effort. And we were already experimented because we had already published a card set 2 years ago. So we managed to do it, but it's a huge effort. And for this, as you can see, we used several free tools. We tried to be as coherent as possible and use really only free tools, which we did. So we were on Ubuntu. The graphical tool was used, was graphical, how to say, photo design was done on GIMP, LibreOffice for prototyping, Scribus for the final print sent to the printer, which is not easy because the printers are working with Adobe, of course, so you have to account for that. BigBlueButton for video conference, Etherpad for online workshop, YesWiki, which is a free wiki which we like for prototypes also, WordPress for the website, Creative Commons for the content, so and so on, basically. So that's where we come now to the cards. What you see here is where I'm going to share a link in a few minutes where you can go and play, and we are going to interact on this board. The board I'm showing you, by the way, I want to introduce also because it's called Airboard Game. You can find it on airboardgame.net. It's a French developer in Toulouse who's done that on his own. It's a free software. And using this free software, you can create online boards like this one. And we find it's a great tool. We use this tool also during the confinement to try some, to test some strategy of learning with some users. So that's why I'm saying we could adapt the cards to do them online. Although we believe it's very important that the tool is physical. We think in some cases it might be important to have also an online version, but we didn't push so much for that now because there is already so much work we've done around the cards. So basically that's it. So Airboard Game is great, and we are going to use it to test the cards. Are there any questions so far?
Yes, some questions about where people can buy the cards, physical cards, on your page, your shop.
So the cards as now are only available in French, but people can buy it on Metacart, www.metacart.cc, which you should see right now. And you can find so all the content you can find here. So you'll see the recipes and ingredients I'm going to show you. All the contents are here. So for example, decentralized architecture is here. And you have also a shop, online shop. And you can buy them here. So this is WordPress and WooCommerce also for those who know.
Another question, how is it planned to translate this to other languages? And people propose some crowd work, volunteer crowd work with some funds for the project.
Very good questions, and thanks for asking it. Actually, we don't know. What we did is we just thought, okay, we've done so much work now to do this tool, and you'll see there is several layers of complexity. We made it simple at first, as you will see, but there are many usage possible. So we thought, okay, there is a free software foundation doing a LibrePlanet, and thought, oh, it's great. We really feel we are part of the free software family. But we can't travel right now in our lives. There's not a period we can travel. We think it could be useful for some people in the English community or other communities, but we don't know how it could be translated, and we are not right now sure if people are interested first, who is interested and which language. So basically today is just like, okay, we show our work, we see if some people are interested and what are they interested in, and we are very comfortable with this kind of open process where we don't fix strong objectives. We just share an intent. Maybe some people would be interested to translate our work and adapt it in other language. Let's see who's interested. Let's see what we can do together. And what I think we don't want is we don't want to be the boss of everything. So maybe if something can be done to translate, we will be more interested to help other groups, independent groups, to do something and try to transfer our philosophy and ideas and help them do something, but not be the kind of big company where we grow and we have to master everything, because it's not sustainable for us to do that. We are two people and we don't want to have employees and so on. So
people ask where to contact you if someone wants to translate. For example, on your site, contacts, Metacart's CC, is it right?
So, because I'm going to share the link to the Airboard Game demo, I've put also the contact here, which is contact@metacart.cc, which is the main point of entrance for us. And maybe at the end of the workshop also, we could discuss if some people are interested, they can give us their email address, or we can think about something that could be done as next step and so on. But main contact will be this.
Okay, so you are sharing some link for people to join and start some test, right?
I just have one final word to show you the context and ask you questions to you guys also, to you and you girls to know also where you come from. So today we are going to focus on this part of the card set, which is on the left, where I made a translation in English. The rest, I'm going to show you just to so that you know there are several layers, but we will work today only with that part of the card set. So remember what Melanie said, it's not a card game, it's a card set. Every card can be seen as a game.
People ask to increase the scale.
Yeah, I will do that.
Yeah.
So what you see as yellow cards, orange cards, are called recipes in our language. Recipes are workshops. These are not translated. I just put them so you can see them. And recipes is like a ready-made workshop. Today, the kind of workshop we are going to test is called Carta Discute, which shows cards for discussion we could translate. And all this you can see as workshop, different various ready-made workshops that any teacher or facilitators could use to work with students, with professionals, general public, to discuss digital technology, ethical issues about digital technology. So today we are not going to use this. I'm showing you also, just for the sake of it, this card set. It's called usage card in our language, and it's another entry into the card set. So here I translated so you can see. So it's about web browsing, audio and video conference, multimedia, meeting organization, email. So to say it shortly, it's all about usage, and using the cards, you can explore alternatives to GAFAM, for example. But today, again, I can answer questions about this, but we won't use them today. Today, what we want to test with you is these cards. And these are made such that you can use. So in the next step, I will show you how to use Airboard Game. And I will also, just before sending the link, ask you to tell me, maybe in the chat, or if we are not too many, as video screen, to where you come from and why you came today also, so we can discuss more interactively also. Maybe I can do that now. Ask people why you came today, where are you from, and why you came today. And if you can put a video, it will be nice also. And then we get back to the screen.
Okay, please. Can anyone share their goals in visiting this workshop? I hope somebody would say it aloud.
As you see, it's interesting to be interactive, so please don't feel free to talk or to ask in the chat. And if you feel like if you are comfortable with putting on your camera, it's nice to see other faces. Otherwise, you just feel like we're talking and talking and not being very interactive.
Hello, my name is Miriam. Unfortunately, my laptop is having trouble with processing video at the same time. I'm talking. So I'll switch off the video because my laptop is having trouble processing the video at the same time as I'm talking. But my name is Miriam. I'm program manager at the Free Software Foundation, and I look forward to this workshop for a long time now because I'm so curious to learn how you can, in a game, somehow learn or communicate with each other and discuss how to improve our digital landscape. And I look really forward to trying these cards. And I also hope that you will find people who can help you translate these cards into English, maybe today or in the aftermath of this workshop.
Thanks, also, Miriam.
Some people wrote in the chat, from Spain, from Iran. So general impression that people are interested to do this on practice during some pedagogical sessions. And also they like some interactive tools, like trainings.
Yeah. Thanks everyone for sharing. It's we always like to know where people come from, so that not just the country, but where they come from, what intent they come from, so we can adapt to this intent. So I'm showing you quickly how to use the board, and then I'm sharing the link. I'm sharing my screen again, and then we'll practice. Authorize. Okay, so you should see now. So in a board game, you can use your mouse to explore a board, and so it's all in French as of now, but I think it's simple enough for you to use. One of the main options is to use the wheel on your mouse to zoom in or to zoom out. I think that's more easy. That's most important. I chose to be the option selection, which allows me to select several. I can see some people found the address, and that's nice. I chose option selection, which allows me to select several cards. And there I have some options, but maybe you won't have to use them. I can use my wheel also if I click on the board to move like this, or I can use the option which is here, the end. And in that case, I can use the left click to move on the board. So basically moving on the board like this, holding it, if you are using this setting here, and zoom in, zoom out are the main option. And then for the use of today, you can double click on any card and you can find content at the back. And you can also drag and drop cards like this. And if you double click, you can explore. You'll see the structure of the card is special. There is a name. There is a visual, which is unique for each card. There is a purpose, which is written with a verb at the beginning. Why is this card for? And at the back, there is a kind of small summary about the card. Why is this concept important? The cards we are exploring today are called criteria. They are kind of concept, which is different from the card usage I showed you just before. And on every ingredient card, you have a principle and you have some questions to ask yourself. If you remember the recipes I showed you, they are not written as questions, they are written as steps to follow, a bit like a cooking recipe. You follow the steps and you get to a point, you get to result. The ingredient cards are written with a question. So for today, the intent we have with the workshop, we'll pretend we are all physically in the same space. And I'm going to share the link with you in the chat. And everyone can come up on the board. And we are on a table, we are on a virtual table. And what we do when we do it physically, we ask people to look at the table, explore the cards. They can and choose one. Maybe today, if we are not too many, we can choose two. And take it in one corner to read them. So you can take this card, for example, on one side and explore it. And then in the second time, I will ask you, why did you choose this card? And use your microphone for that and tell us why you choose this card. Is it because you know it and you think it's very important? Is it because you don't know it and you wanted to explore this card? What do you want to share? Is it something that surprised you, something that you find interesting, and so on? So now I'm going to share the link with you in the chat and ask you everyone to come up with us and explore the cards and choose one or two which you find interesting. I'm going to stop the screen share and join you on the board. And so we can take a few minutes of exploration of the board. Choose a card you like. You can isolate yourself on the board. You can see there are several mouths on the board. And within 3-5 minutes, after you read a few cards, we'll have a turn of talking. And one person at a time will share what they found in the card, what they found interesting, surprising, what they knew, what they didn't know, and so on. Maybe I can keep for the stream. Maybe people are following the live stream won't be able to follow the board if I go back to the camera. So maybe I'll screen my share again so everyone can see on the live stream as well.
Yes, it will be a right choice. I suppose not all people can enable microphone for some reason.
So maybe they can do some short writing in the chat and you can help me get a taste of what they said. Sure. For those of you who are on the board, I think you can change your name also on that side.
some attendee told that they choose free software and hardware tools, sustainability card to understand what free software and hardware tools are available for adoption. Does it make sense for you?
No, can you say that again, or is it in the chat? Okay.
Sustainability card. Understand what free software tools and hardware tools are available for adoption. What does it mean?
Okay, I think I kind of see. For now, I won't answer too many things. I will just get reaction. I choose voluntarily not to say this is right, wrong, and answer. Just I want to get reaction from you people, participants. See what you get inspired. How you get inspired.
So I chose the decentralized architecture card because I'm currently trying to learn more about the decentralized web, and I find the questions on the card interesting in the sense that it's asking about if a tool can be self-hosted, because finding that some decentralized architecture is not necessarily a free software. There is also, there can be proprietary software, and it's just making me think about that.
Thanks.
I've selected some card because it looks interesting. This tool with hand and some tool.
Sorry, Ken, can you say it a hand, little louder?
Hand which keeps some tools for engineering. Tools for convivability.
Okay. You chose that one?
Yes.
Okay. Can you switch it on? Okay, so that people can see on the stream. So what? Why did you choose this card?
Who? I?
What did you find interesting?
It looks interesting from the picture. Picture looks interesting.
All right. And was there anything in the content that surprised you or inspired you, or you found it festive?
Yes, I see some name, Ivan Ilyich. Who is he? Ivan Ilyich.
Ivan Ilyich is I think he was from South America. He was a very important thinker for me and some people in France, because he defined lot of ideas about technology. It's basically what he says is technology tends to grow, and as it grows, it reaches a point where it becomes counterproductive to its purpose. It's like cars are useful to travel fast, but when you get too many cars, you go slowly, more slowly than if you didn't have cars. So if you think about the time you work to pay your car, the time you spend in the traffic jam, about various things, because there is a point where it becomes counterproductive. And you can look at education, you can look at hospital and health systems. When they grow to a certain point, there's a threshold where they become counterproductive to their use, their initial use, and they become kind of dictatorial. So he proposed that tools should stay what he calls convivial, which is not a very good name even in French, but that's the name he gave. And he defined some criteria. It's a bit like free software, which was defined, and this is the definition. You have four freedoms. Ivan Ilyich proposed that convivial tools for conviviality
should expand our scope of action, but they shouldn't make themselves indispensable. They shouldn't create a master and slave relationship. So basically, they should work with you, but not work for you. They should help you become, be more autonomous, but not more dependent. So there, he wrote books on this, and I won't be able to summarize everything right now, but it's very interesting about empowerment and dependency. So I think it's very, we think it's very complementary to the free software concept, basically. It's another concept which also is interesting.
Sounds very interesting. And is he active now, Ivan Ilyich?
Ivan Ilyich proposed his work, I think, in the 70s or 80s. So now he's not with us anymore. And most of his work is quite old, actually. In France, there was another thinker called André Gortz, who did a lot of translation and promotion of Ivan Ilyich's work. I don't know how well he's known into the rest of the world, but for us, he's a very important thinker, and what he proposed was very important.
I personally hear this name first time from France, but it sounds very similar to Vladimir Ilyich. Do you know who is Vladimir Ilyich?
No.
Vladimir Ilyich Lenin. It's just a joke, but a real historical person.
Okay. Some
people answered that they selected ergonomics because ergonomics is one of the most important topics for free software, and transparency of algorithm because it looks like something about mathematics. And it's good to have some transparency for complex algorithms to understand them.
Thanks for reading. I'm reading the chat also. So someone chose the Carter ergonomics for helping someone to adopt new software. And yeah, as you said, transparency of algorithm.
I chose the democratic control card because I was curious. I think we are always talking about free society and how free software is so important for democracy. And what I think is interesting is that you're talking about asymmetry between users and providers, and that is a power asymmetry. And I like the questions that you have here below. Questions like, is the design of the tool based on community governance, or what effective influence can users have on current or future directions?
Thanks for sharing your thoughts.
Somebody told, choose ease of change. Struggle with leaving away a proprietary social media tool. So, ease of change is also very important for future of our subject of technology.
Yep. Thanks for sharing. Is there anyone who wants to share on other cards that they like or didn't like, or thought were important, or surprised them, or they didn't know?
Cards which have been already selected, or some other? I personally like every card. It's interesting. What does it mean? And it's good to know what should be next steps. So we select cards, read the text, and what is next.
Kirin and Miriam, we have how much time do we have? We have 1 hour and a half today, so it's 40 more minutes. Is that right? Am I correct?
Yes, we have 40 minutes more.
Okay. I let you explore the cards, and I can zoom in, zoom out. I have questions. We can spend 5 or more minutes, and then I'll show you a bit more about the thinking behind this and the usage you guys could do, you girls could do, if you are using such cards in a workshop. I'll let you explore a little more, then I'll show you more things.
Some person asked about your opinion, how we should identify something that help us to make some changes good to us. What do you say about this?
How do we change? That's a very complex question, and I would say all the game is about that. So I will wait a little more to answer this, because you'll see there are several layers of difficulty in that, of complexity, and we accounted for that in the design of the card sets to provide several strategies for individuals and collectives to explore alternatives and switch to alternatives. And this part of the card set is one option, one entry, one point of entry. This part of the card set, the usage, is another point of entry. And every card here you see in orange are also points of entries which you can use. So you'll see that the fact that the cards can be combined is also very important, but I will get into this later on.
Can it be called agile management cards?
Sorry, can you?
I'm asking some question about agile methodologies.
Mm-hmm.
You're familiar with this, right?
Yeah.
So agile technology use a lot of different cards, tools, games, and is it also a part of such approach or not?
So yeah, agile can take this for several usage. Depends what agile are applied for. For example, see, the cards could be used by people working with end users to discover alternatives, but they could be used by developers to create softwares and codes that are more ethical, which takes into account aspects which are related to energy usage or social issue. Maybe I'll dig into this now, actually. So today, I put you around the table where there were cards and ask you to explore the cards and take some. Now, what is interesting with this, particularly when you do it physical, is you use this to create discussions. Today, if we were around the table and if we were more time or more familiar, we could create a discussion about, I could ask you actually, in your opinion, I will do the try. Now, I will ask everyone, maybe in the chat, tell me what is for you the most important card for ethics. Please answer in the chat. Or mute. Yeah.
I don't understand. What do you ask?
Tell me, from what you saw in the cards, what
for
is for
example,
you the most
important? This is what my card. Do you see it?
Yeah.
How should I think about ethics in relation to it?
So do you think tools for conviviality is important for an ethical usage, for an ethical technology?
So tools should be effective and of use for the process that we are running. right? Is it ethical?
I'll give you another example. If I ask you what is for you the criteria which is most important for you for an ethical tool, because we are at Libre Planet today, maybe everyone will tell me, for us, for me, it's more important that it's a free software. But if I'm going into a general public who's not aware about free software, they might tell me it's about inclusivity, that the tool is not discriminative to women or to people of various sexual orientation or ethnic origin. But if I go to other very hardcore developers, they might say, oh, it's very important that it has a decentralized architecture. So basically, what I'm trying to say, our accessibility is more important because we should be aware of people with disabilities and make sure they can be included. So what I'm saying basically is all these criteria are for us important in terms of ethics. When you ask users usually about what's important for software, I'm talking about general public, not free software enthusiasts, they will think about, is it easy to use? So is it comfortable, which we call ergonomics in our language, or usability? They will ask about the cost. Is it free? Is it expensive? And maybe they will ask about control. Is it like when you are in a company, can we control what the users are doing? Can we control the leakage and so on? But they don't think so much about other aspects. Maybe you at the Free Software Foundation, you would say free lib software is crucial for us. But outside that, the general public, they won't think about other aspects. So what we tried to do here is bring to light that there are several aspects which are important. Democratic control is important because, okay, free software is crucial, but what is the governance about the project behind the free software? Is it one person ruling everything, or is it a community which has community rules? Then the aspects about energy usage, which we call frugality in our language. What is the trends of consumption of energy of the tool? The aspects about human rights. You are aware probably about the fact that most of the technology we use is based on minerals which are rare, which needs a lot of energy to exploit and are very damaging to the environment. So all these aspects we believe are important. So when you do a workshop, yeah, it's a bit difficult because of the language and the distance, but when we do a workshop face to face, we try to ask people for them, what is the cards, what is the notion, what is the concepts which are important for them in terms of ethics. And depends if you are in the northern countries, western countries, or southern countries, whether you are with developers, free software enthusiasts, whether you are with end users, you will have very different responses. And at the end of the day, no answer is right, no answer is wrong. It's what's important for the users that's important. So basically what we do is we use this tool first to raise awareness about different concepts which are not necessarily known. So for you, Free Software Foundation, this is basic. Free lib software is just the basic. There's no discussion about it. But for people who are not into so much into software, it's something new. So having this concept on a card allows us to provoke discussion about this. What is free software? I don't know what is free software. Can I learn about it? And when we do this, we try to have participants from various backgrounds so that we don't have to answer this. We have someone else in the assembly answering what is free software. So we don't have to teach people, but people learn from each other. And that's the same for every aspect from accessibility and inclusivity and energy issues and so on, and sustainability issue. We try to just create an environment to provoke discussions and then let people bring the answers together. And eventually we can answer also, but we try to do as much as we can from the discussion between participants. I talk to you also. Answer questions, if, please.
Yes, there are some questions and some comment. In order to summarize, can you open it again, please? Oh, yes. So the goal of these cards is that the team who start to work using this tool, they should select their each their own card, and then second part is they should select some hierarchy, what cards are most important for them, what terms most important from ethical point of view, right?
Yeah, exactly, that's one strategy. First, you have a level of discovering the cards, because as I said, for you, free software is, you know, and you know better than I do, but you don't know maybe about tools for conviviality or accessibility. And I don't know so much about accessibility myself, but there are probably some people who are more expert. So first, there is a layer of we all get on a common ground about the concepts. What does it mean, digital intimacy? What does it mean, inclusivity? What does it mean, democratic control? What does it mean, free software? So first, we get the concepts and we by exchanging. And then second, we try to prioritize our hierarchy about it. Yeah.
And how can it be done in a group? For instance, I selected one card, other person selected other cards, and we consider our cards the most important. How should we agree? What are relation?
So keep in mind, this is all very, could be very long and complex. So for example, just discovering the card set, the part I'm showing you today is 20 cards. So 20 cards, recently we did a workshop with researchers who were already familiar with free software and issues about ethical issues. We took 2 hours just to discover all the cards and have a discussion about it, and it was very dense, very strong discussion and very interesting discussion just to discover the concepts. Then we could ask them to prioritize by choosing a subject. Like, it's too general, it can be difficult. So for example, we can ask them to choose, for example, search and monitoring. We could take one card of this to explore. So we could choose, for example, if they use Google search engine, we could take Google search engine and ask them, when you think about the search engine, what do you think are the most important criteria for an ethical search engine? So is it that it's accessible? Or is it that it has a transparency of algorithm? Maybe transparency of algorithm is very important. So I'll pick it up, I'll take it out of the card set. Maybe I would think about responsible funding is important, because I know ads are the most important business model on the web. So I think it's very important. So we should look at this. We should look at this. And we are free software enthusiasts, so it should be free software. All right, so I'm taking out all the other cards. Keep in mind, if you do it with users, it could be overwhelming to have 20 cards with 20 concepts. So you could do them to acculturate, then maybe you take them all, and then you tidy them up, and you focus only on this. And then if you are looking at your search engine, so I'm showing you a bit of hardball game at the same time. I'm putting a note. So this is Google search engine we are looking today. This is the scope of our ethical issue, because if we are using all our tools, looking at all our digital tools, it can take weeks and months. So we start small. We start with our search engine. What we could do is do something which we call ethical test in our card set, which is this card. I'll show you today a bit of the ethical test recipe. So we ask the users, what tool do we examine? Google search engine, right? Then we'll have to find the minimal on this. We'll basically build a scale, what is the minimum requirement for that, what is the zero, basically? On a scale of between 0 and 10, what is zero? Zero is no information about the algorithm. It's a black box. And what is the best? We have access to the code and explanation to make it easy to understand. So this is our scale and this is 10. So we are basically building a scale to be able to evaluate our Google search engine. What I've done here, putting 0 and 10, when you do it with users, you shouldn't say the 0 and 10. I'm doing today just for the demo, but you should just facilitate discussions so that the users, the participants themselves, have discussion about what is 0, what is 10, so that later on they should agree on a common ground, so later on they can evaluate Google search engine between 0 and 10. Same for responsible funding, same for free software. This process alone can be another 1 or 2 hours in addition to the first 2 hour step. But it's essential because that's at this stage, we have again clarification, what is the transparency for us in our context? What does it mean for us? What does it mean for responsible funding for us? And so on and so on. So all the process is not reaching a point, it's all the discussion so that we agree what it means. So then when we evaluate Google, we can agree on, is it 10 Google on transparency on algorithm? Probably not. It's probably more likely close to 0 or maybe 1 or 2, let's say, but probably 0 because there's no information about the algorithm. And the funding, okay, Google Workspace ask for money for funding, but the rest, the search engine, it's based on advertising. So it's based on spying on users. So it's probably also 0 on the scale we are doing. Is it more clear for you?
What, for example, if we use these cards in physical discussion?
Yeah.
So we put cards on the table and some person selected one card, start to read, to turn it, and then somebody else would like to select the same card. What should happen in this situation?
There are different strategies, but usually when we try to ask them to discover the card, we say choose a card which you like, but don't fight for it. It could be a card you like, a card you don't know. If two people are asking for the same card, well, one option could be they go together with same card. One option is you choose another one, because at the end, we'll share the cards, we'll have discussion about them. So eventually everyone will see every card. So at the end of a workshop probably. So there are different strategies, but that's easy usually.
It is some question whether there is some set for beginners. For beginners in some topic, for example, technology, or for beginner in this tool, in this card game.
So in the card sets, there are 3 white cards, which is a bit like how-to, but very basic. And most of the how-to is online, and I'm showing you right now on the website. It's called Mode d'Emploi in French. And here you have different steps to discover the cards, to use them. And we are trying to increase the numbers of tools. When we have people using the cards and give us feedback, when they write new recipes, when they use it in different contexts for students or for developers or for social activists, whatever. We try to put stuff online so there are more how to. So basically, this is here, you can find it. Again, it's all in French as of now. Here, I'm also showing you a canvas of the previous ethical test tool I was showing you. This is something people can download and print, or they can reproduce it on a paper board. And what I was showing you before the demo is you choose a criteria, and then you evaluate. Or here, it's another way. You put a criteria one, minus, a maximum. Criteria two, minimum, maximum, and so on. And you can evaluate several tools like this. You could have Google Search Engine, WhatsApp for your message, a web browser, which is probably not ethical, and so on. You could evaluate. So we try to slowly but surely add more resources to our resource so people can use them more efficiently. And we welcome contribution. We are very happy when people say, oh, I've done something. I've done a new canvas. Here is it. Here it is. And we publish it online and try to link to the people so that we don't centralize all the content on our platform, but provide also visibility for other people and so on.
Yeah, actually people told that they think most important card is protection, protecting tool, taking card care of user, inclusivity card. Yes, that are selections.
So I'll try to follow that. So protection tool, okay. Inclusivity, and I will put them on the side in the airboard game.
It is interesting whether such cards are used just for ethics evaluation or some other kind of topics.
Can you say that again? If the cards are used for which usage?
Just for ethical evaluation or some other topics also.
We think some people are using the usage cards for other use, which are not directly related to ethics, but actually we hope that it takes them to ethics. Because what you see here, all this usage card also link to alternatives. I can show you that before the end also, just to give you a taste of the rest. Although today I want to focus more on this. So we hope people use it for other usage, but eventually get back to the ethics because that's our main topic.
Can it be accepted to some topic? I have seen the topic of your research is some design of gardens or living places. It was some tricky word. I forgot it.
So, sorry, I didn't get really the questions.
The question is ethical design of living place. Is it possible to apply this card set to such
topic? To ethical design?
Yes.
Yeah, actually, maybe I will get into that. So I hope it was a bit interactive. It's not easy online to reproduce the offline experience. But now I'll leave the interactive part to show you a bit more about other aspects of how do you go to ethical on an ethical path now? How did we design this tool to help individuals and collectives to go on ethical? So here you saw today, I asked you to read cards, so you discover maybe new concepts. If we were around the table, it would be more easy to have a chat, to discuss what is this protecting tool, what is tools for conviviality, and so on. So we understand more concepts. Then we can prioritize. So maybe protecting tool is more important for us, free software is essential, and inclusivity is important. Okay. So then we can evaluate an existing tool that we are using. So for example, Google, but we can use that for a new tool we are designing. Suppose you at the Free Software Foundation want to improve BigBlueButton, or you want to redesign an entirely new code, you could choose beforehand what are the aspects which are important for you. So you put free software first, then you want it to be protecting tool, inclusive, and maybe you want also ergonomics, because sometimes free software is very functional but needs some improvement on the usability side. So you could choose this to before you design your code. Another thing I want to stress is, if you look at the concept, they are all linked together. For example, Facebook is very ergonomical, very usable, but it's not protecting. It's actually manipulating your behavior for its purpose. And it's probably because it doesn't have a responsible funding model. It's based on advertising. So the funding is not responsible. And at the same time, although the users are creating values for Facebook, there's no democratic control. The users don't have any choice. There's no community governance in Facebook. There are aspects which are linked also, like sustainability and frugality are linked. It's more on the material aspect of the digital, energy use, resource use. There are aspects which are more technical, interoperability, decentralized architecture, free software. What you see, what I'm trying to show you, is that all these aspects are not independent. It's a web of, it's a network of concepts which are all interdependent. If you have, for example, free software, but you don't have responsible funding, it's difficult to be ethical also. Maybe you will find it difficult to survive. You'll have to switch your model or stuff like that. If you have, I won't go in more detail, but what I'm saying is it's all interdependent and we need to account for this complexity. And the tool we designed here with paper cards was to take out people outside of the screen to have discussion about these very deeply complex issues and the interdependence. And for that, we made learning, how to say, strategy, which is we want to take people on a path to ethics. We say ethical digital technology is not a destination, it's a utopia, it's a path actually. And to get people into the process, we design a canvas, which is in French right now, with several steps towards ethical digital. So I'm going to translate. First step is to be conscious, to be aware about the issue. Why do we want to go on ethical digital technology? What are the issues with digital technologies today? This is first step for us. Then second step is evaluate where we are. What are the tools we are using? What are the usage we have for this tool? You can use mail for file sharing, which is maybe good, maybe not good. But we want you to evaluate your tool and your usage to be aware of what you do. Then what are your values? What do you stand for? What is important for you? Because it will have an impact on the ethical issue. And what are your needs? Because if you switch to something more ethical, maybe you need to also you can think about what your needs are, which are not fulfilled right now. Then you define criteria, which is a bit what I showed you before with the ethical test. What are the criteria which are important for us? That it's free, libre code, okay. That it's inclusive, all right. That it's protecting tools, okay. That's your criteria. Then from there, you can go to discover alternatives. And then you can go and test new alternatives. And what we didn't show on the card, but I'm going to show you quickly, is we did a lot of work to provide users with alternative propositions. So for example, if we want to go to discover tools for learning, when people take the physical card, MetaCard on learning, they can go to the website using the short code, the QR code or the short link. And there we provide them with a list of tools. So for example, if they want to have an online platform, learning platform, they can have a learning management system and they can go to Moodle. And if they want to create, to find image which are free, they can go to a search engine for that, which is a Creative Commons search engine. And they can have information on the topic, on an encyclopedia, which is Wikipedia and so on. So for every card you saw, we also provide people with a list of alternatives that we chose to be more ethical. And then after that, people discover alternatives, they can test them, see if the criteria are met for them, and then they can evolve to new practice. And then they can evaluate, which is actually doing the same as evaluating at the beginning. So we have a loop here, and if you are in agile methodology, you know that our loops are important because you want switch from proprietary privative software to ethical software in 1 minute, in 1 day. It's a process which might take months if you are with users which are for different interest, origin, and so on. So we made this process so that people can walk this path and again until they slowly but surely improve the ethics of their tools. And that's what we built into the game as a strategy. And for that, we provide workshop. I won't go into the detail, but today I was showing you is what we call cards to discuss. Give cards to people, let them exchange around the topics on the card. But we could take them to ethical tests, which is choose some cards for criteria, prioritize them, do a scale, evaluate, and that's another workshop. You could map your projects and your tools with the Arbor project, which is a project tree. It's a bit like a mind mapping. You draw it as a tree and you map all your tools and you discuss them and so on and so on. So we shortly conclude now and have a mock discussion. We try to have a platform where there are various strategies of use of the cards, and depending on the teachers, on the developers, on the facilitators using them, they can build different learning strategy for their context, for their users, for their purpose. And we just provide the tools, convivial tools, as we said, that don't do everything for you, but help you do what you try to do. And then in this context, there are various strategies and layers of complexity, but that's basically the philosophy I wanted to share with you today.
So summarizing, there are these yellow cards, these types of games, right?
I would say workshop, yeah, workshop more than game, because some of them are fun, some of them are not fun. They're just like a workshop, like agile methodology, use some workshop also, which some are very fun, some are less fun, but the workshop basically.
And it is some roadmap, instructions of how to make the specific game, what steps should it have, and how to use it, right?
On the card, yeah, I can show you
yes,
example. So if you go to resource, you have numeric ethic, which is digital ethical content, and you have recipes, yeah? And recipes, I can show you, for example, Arbor project. Basically, it's just telling people to do a mind mapping of their tools. So on the cards, what is written is use this graphic canvas, which is the form of the tree, to map your existing software tools. And then you can discuss what you want to keep, what you want to suppress, or what you want to add. And the card is written like a cooking recipe with steps. Zero is a step before the workshop. So when you prepare before the participants are there. And 1, 2, 3, 4 are the steps you do when you are conducting the workshop. So it says, individually, you list the functionality of your tools on a post-it, for example. Then you place them on a tree and group them. Then you discuss what you want to remove, to prune. Then you discuss what you want to add, new branches, and so on. And we try to provide links to more detailed instructions. But we try to summarize. And actually, a lot of the work we had on this 2 years process was to write it very shortly. It's 500 characters. And to keep very succinct so that when you are in the workshop, you just have the essential. And then when you follow the link, you go online and you find the most complex, most detailed instruction.
And who should be a facilitator of the games if some team decide to select these tools to solve some issues?
We think it's anyone who's interested in these topics. Better if you already have a knowledge about collective intelligence, agile methodologies, stuff like that, organizing meetings and stuff like that. But we think everyone could learn how to do this, and we try to provide very, very simple tools. For examples, the one I showed you today was called Card to Discuss. You ask people to take a card, or you just give them random cards and let them exchange. It's not very difficult. It's just about then listening and asking them questions that they exchange. Another one like this is called, you know, probably user story, if you are into agile methodology. Write stories about how the user are using technology so that you can design. Dessinez-moi is basically draw me. You ask people, draw me the internet. And you play, put them in small groups of 4 or 5 people, ask them to draw the internet so that you can ask them, where is the data stored? What is the cloud? What is the server? And so on. So it's built on drawings. Elles l'ont fait means they did it. And it's female because it's more inclusive like this. So it could be people, not just men, or organization in French. So they did it is basically share stories of success. So you get a group together and they share story about how they quit proprietary software to free software. So I quitted Mac OS 10 years ago and I found this and this difficult, but eventually I succeeded and that's how I did it. Then someone else is sharing how they quitted Google search engine and so on. So this story, Elles l'ont fait, basically is just creating a framework where people share stories of success going forward to ethical stories. You see here, there are dots on the cards. One dot means simple to do, to conduct. Two dots is more complex. And three dots, like ethical tests or other, are very complex. So you should be prepared and a bit of expert or specific materials beforehand to conduct the workshop. So with this code, you can also choose as a facilitator what is easy to try, what is difficult. For example, also, Chaton is a collective of, which means a collective of open, transparent, alternative posters for free, for tools, basically. And they provide a list of free tools you can use without any password and so on. So this card basically just means you want to show users that there are alternatives they can use. You follow the link. And you reach I can show you basically the Chaton website. And you found ready to use Etherpad, Jitsi, Luffy, Ethercalc, and so on, free to use alternative. So that in 1 hour workshop, you send users to this platform and they can try free and ethical alternatives without having to have a password. So this is just a very small workshop, but it's something that you as a facilitator can use part of the game. You don't need to use, you don't need to use all the cards. Maybe sometimes you use the Chaton card, maybe sometimes you use the carte à discuter in combination with the criteria cards. Maybe sometimes you focus on just one card. Maybe you at the Free Software Foundation, sometimes on a discovery workshop, you will just use the Free Software card and the questions around it. Maybe sometimes you have people coming, you do 1 week workshop where you explore together just one card and you can do 20 weeks like this. So again, there are various strategies from 1 hour workshop to several months of exploration. Depends if it's a one-off with users you won't see again or if it's a group you follow over months for very serious exploration.
So coming to time to finalize today's session. And the final question probably. So people ask what form the result should have should it be a written table, written document, or video recording, and how to translate it to the team, to specific policies, instructions, something like this.
So now, because we're at the end, as you said, and we think about translation first. For us, the question is, is it interesting for some people to translate this work in English or in other language? Yes or no? And then if yes, probably contact us using the email, which I'm going to share again. The way we did it before, when we did the open construction process, is usually we put up a etherpad with some intent and some ideas, and we let people also put more ideas around it. And then if something happens, it happens. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. We take it very easy. We are not, we have a very small structure. And actually, if you can promote our work so that we can sell more cards and be very rich, then we can spend more time helping for the translation, because again, we are only two people and the rest is network of volunteers. And if there are people interested in translating, we would just probably give the basic help at the beginning, find the links, where is the content online, what card could be more interesting to translate, help them understand the strategy and the logic, and see where it how it goes. But for us, it's just, okay, let's see what happens. Are there people interested and to commit to do something? And if so, yeah, let's see what we can do together. And let's take it from there. We don't want to promise anything from our side, because that's right now we have little time. We will have more later, maybe less later, and see who comes and what we can do. So contact us by mail, probably. We probably put up some ideas on Etherpad. Welcome your ideas, and let's see why it takes us.
So, can you provide any links for these documents where anyone who wish can write their ideas and anything like this?
And that right now,
we should send these links to all the subscribers. Copy it to chat.
Yeah. I'm already doing right now, so I won't make false promise.
Mm-hmm. What languages do you think? Do you wish this should be translated to?
Actually, it should be in on English Etherpad, you're right, sorry. So probably contact us at this address for those interested, and then we'll share a link.
Can you copy the link of this document to chat? And
yeah, I'll do that. The mail address, and this is a board game. Mm-hmm. What I'm sharing also, without any promises, but we have a friend who's a developer who's thinking about building a card generator tool so that people could send data. Right now we did it on Scribus, but it's very difficult. It's a very lot of work to get it properly. And we are doing it on LibreOffice for short prototyping. But we are thinking about releasing, helping make a card generator so that people could develop their own card set later on, and as a free software, of course. So that's also things we are thinking are important, but we try to be sustainable. So we try to right now not go into too many things and stabilize what we do. So do teachings about the cards, sell cards, and but eventually, because we think it's so important, these tools spread. We are also working on this because we think it's important. And airboard game also could be an alternative for online version. Although, again, we think physical tool is important to think, to talk about digital without digital, without the screen, to quit the screen, have discussion about the digital tools, and then get back to the screen after all. I'm reading the chat also to catch up.
I hope technical team will send all the links to email list in order it not to be lost. So the link to a document where people should write ideas also.
Yeah, and this is digital ethical. So here also you have all the links with all the pictures and all the content. Mm-hmm. Here is the content online.
Okay. Link to this page. My personal impression, I always like some dynamic games and any facilitation techniques to increase the level of communication capabilities within team. And especially interesting that the ethical topic is covered, because usual agile games are more technical related or psychological related, how to increase just communication or throughput in various engineering aspects. And it's definitely important to have serious attention to ethical issues. For example, how this product solves any kind of ethic, how this aspect should be improved, what are some user activity map on the product, and how it influences the perception of the product from ethical aspect. All these are very important issues, and we definitely should promote such tools. I hope this this session would have some continue with everybody who take part, and we should stay, keep in touch, and work together in order to develop this idea further.
We'll be very happy to work more with the free software community, because we are not developers ourselves. We work with some developers, but we think there is need for other layers around the developers and the code for promoting the ideas and the raising awareness about the issues. So yeah, we'll definitely be interested to have feedback and to have a lasting discussion not every week, but over a long period, to exchange once in a while, keep in touch.
And final, issue. Can you share a little bit how you work with your clients? How intensive your work is? For example, a month, how many sessions do you organize?
Okay. Right now on Numeric Ethic, not so many, and we think it's difficult to find the public for this. We're hoping to find big networks of digital to be interested in that, but right now it's individuals. Some are developers, some are with social issues, but we don't have so much on this. We also work on this one, which I didn't show, but it's all about cooperative meeting. This is the first card set we designed, which was in 2019. It was released. This one is 2021. So basically what we get a bit of revenue from the card sale also, but it's not so much. That's a bit of a basic income. And the rest is Melanie and I are both teachers and facilitators. So we go to large groups, for example, 40 people meetings, and we facilitate. So it's not necessarily about digital, and we also have other sides of our work. And right now on numeric ethic and digital ethical, it's not so much part of our time. And Melanie also is a graphic facilitator. So she goes to do graphic synthesis of meetings and stuff like that. So that's also part of her model. But we would like, we think there is more potential for this, not just for us also. We think, what basically what right now where we are in France is to join more closely with other people with similar ethics to kind of share more ideas of how it could be used so that other facilitators, other teachers could use this a bit like a platform and then be doing their own independent training and facilitating without us sometimes and make money out of it also, but kind of loosely join as an ecosystem and collaborate like this loosely. So we want to expand also this kind of loose cooperation with other people with wants more ethics in the digital space, basically.
So we came to an end of today's session. And, I hope everybody is impressed by the topic, and I see feedbacks that people really impressed and like this. And I wish everybody would use this, and I specifically would like to keep in touch with you and continue some interaction.
Great. Thank you very much. And please get in touch. Please give us some feedback if you look at the tools or feedback for today, because for us, very important to also see people are enthusiastic and have feedback of the usage. So thanks, and thanks to the Free Software Foundation and to Liam and Kirin to helping for organizing the workshop also.
Thank you very much, Lilian, for presenting this. It was highly interesting, and I see from the feedback that people here were also highly interested. And I'm sure that this can be of much use in education. Thank you.
And just one thing, one big up for Melanie also, who couldn't be here all the time, but we are two people working on it. And very often you only see the male person for the reason, but we are two. And she has also been, we've been together, very involved to do this all this work. So don't not forget I'm not alone, but Melanie also couldn't be there for the whole time, but part of the...
Sure. Say hello for her.
Yeah.
See you. Take care.
See you, Kirill. And thanks, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.